The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without pay, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority, Matthew writes. Jesus' choice of 12 disciples was not an accident. That number goes all the way back to the Old Testament, to a man named Jacob. Perhaps you will recall what a scoundrel Jacob was left to himself. He was a thief and a con artist from birth, stealing from his brother Esau, his father Isaac, and his father-in-law Laban. Left to himself, Jacob was hopeless. But Jacob was not left to himself. He was the recipient of God's promise of the coming Savior who would save both him and the world. And so captivated by the promise that God could care even for a thief like him, was Jacob, that he literally fought with God on the banks of the Jabbok River, demanding that God keep his promise to him. And God did, changing Jacob's name, which means thief or trickster, to Israel, which means Prince of God. In time, Jacob had 12 sons, and each one became a head of a tribe of Israel. And that right there is the origin of Jesus' choice of 12. But it doesn't stop there. Perhaps you will also recall what a scoundrel Jacob's sons were, selling their arrogant brother Joseph into slavery in Egypt, and then lying about it to their father Jacob. Of course, God rules all things, and even scoundrels do God's will. And after many years, Jacob's family was reunited. And so one day, the aging Jacob called his sons together to bless them. And the blessing Jacob gave to his sons was the same blessing given to him, the promise of the coming Savior. But just like for Jacob, the promise of the coming Savior was contested right from the start. The 12 sons and their tribes suffered mightily. 400 years of slaving away in mud pits in Egypt, making bricks for Pharaoh. A seemingly endless battle for the promised land. Bad kings and being led off into captivity to languish in exile. Occupation by the Greeks and then the Romans. One would have good reason to think perhaps God might have forgotten his promise. Even worse, perhaps God was unable to keep his promise, or maybe God was a liar. When one's experience of life seems continually to be the opposite of what God promises, questions abound. Boasting and suffering, as Paul said in the second reading, is a tall order. But for God to speak is for God to do. And when Almighty God makes a promise, he can and he will keep it. And that is why God incarnate chose 12 disciples. He was delivering on his promise of the coming Savior, given centuries before to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel. God did not forget his promise. God is not a liar. God is not unable to keep his word. No, he is and always has been almighty, but more importantly, compassionate. And because God wanted his steadfast word of compassion given, he put his authoritative word into the mouths of 12 more scoundrels and sent them out to preach. And do you know what happened? The sick were healed, the dead were raised, and the demons fled. Said another way, God's kingdom came, and sin, death, and the devil were conquered. And so what are we to make of all of this? Simply this, God is almighty, and he keeps his word, and he is compassionate. Well, I have good news for you this morning. The long-promised Savior of Israel is for you too. And I know this because God promised that all nations would be saved through the Savior promised to Abraham. So here we are, and into the mouth of yet another scoundrel, God's word has been placed with the command to proclaim it. So here goes. By the authority of Jesus Christ, I forgive you the entirety of your sin. There's your promise. And that can only mean that the kingdom of heaven is yours forever. Amen.